Welcome one and all to The Fix here on KXRW. I am Bill Haas, and I am happy to have you here. The song we are rocking to right now is Lose Lose, and the man feeling it on the guitar is award-winning, worldwide renowned bluesman, vocalist, composer, producer, a recording artist with more than 20 albums to his credit, San Jose's own Tommy Castro. Tommy Castro is touring in our neck of the woods on January 21st at the Jack London Review in Portland and at Sessions Music Hall on January 22nd in Eugene, Oregon. Blues Music Magazine calls Tommy one of the brightest stars in the blues soul genre, and the Washington Post says, Castro is phenomenal and funky with soulful vocals and inspired blues guitar. Blues Review says, Tommy Castro can do no wrong. Tommy Castro, can't you do wrong?
I can and I have.
Okay, well, put a star by that one. All right.
It's nice the things that they say, you know, in these write-ups. I appreciate them a lot. You know, we work hard to, you know, to make good records and put on a good show. You know, we like to think that there's, we're, you know, making a contribution to the music, you know, of our own. You know, we do our own songs most of the time, about 80% of the time we're doing our own songs. Mm-hmm. And then when we're covering, you know, one of our favorite artists, you know, we try to do good, try to do them justice. And, you know, so we work hard at it, and it's nice that people have, you know, some nice things to say about me, but I really don't, you know, if somebody's writing, doing a write-up on an artist, it's, they're most likely going to look for something nice to say.
Well,
so I don't believe it all. I just kind of go, that's great. I'm glad that they, you know, thought well of us and enjoyed the music.
Excellent.
But I don't take it too serious. That's all.
And well, that's some of the early advice I got was don't believe your
don't believe your reviews.
Yeah, right. Starting doing a little bit of a history tour here. Now, you started playing since you were, say, 10 years old.
Yeah.
Do you happen to remember, how did you come by that first guitar? Who put one in your hands and set the direction for your life?
Well, I had an older brother, my brother Raymond, and he was 6 years older than me. So he was a teenager when I was 10. And he was already playing guitar. And you know, he joined some local bands, you know, and just playing rock and roll music, you know, mostly the songs that were on the radio at the time. So they were playing really cool stuff, you know, stuff by the Beatles and the Stones and the Animals and the Yardbirds and you name it, you know, that kind of stuff. And they'd rehearse at my mother's house, you know, and so I got to really, I just really got inspired and wanted to do it myself. So whenever he wasn't around, I'd sneak a guitar. And eventually, you know, I started asking my mom for a guitar of my own. And she doesn't know that much about instruments. And she came up with this old Harmony acoustic guitar with the F holes. You know, it was an acoustic, like cowboy type guitar.
Sure.
And it was really hard. I mean, the strings were gigantic on it. And I'm 10 and my fingers are small. It was so hard to make a chord on that guitar, but I worked at it and I kept working at it. And I just kept learning a handful of songs and my, you know, with my folk chords or whatever. And then eventually I moved up to a cheap pawn shop electric guitar. And I just kept going, you know, just kept listening to records and trying to figure stuff out. You know,
right. Oh, so that's this big F hole guitar. It's probably got some big black diamond strings on it or something like that. And you're a 10-year-old kid trying to wrestle with this thing.
Yeah, it was really hard. And when I got the electric, it was a little better, but it was a cheap electric, the kind you get at the pawn shop that is brand new. You know, nobody pawned it. They just happened to sell guitars.
Right.
they sell guitars that are not pawned, that they just picked up. They bought them cheap wholesale from, in those days, from Japan, I guess. And
sure.
And it was so it was like a $35 guitar, brand new, and it was really, really hard. It was also really hard to play.
Sure.
So eventually, I got a little bit better. I kept on trading up till I got a little bit better guitars. But that's how it started.
Sure.
Mostly because of my big brother Ray.
So I'm thinking, who does he want to be? If he's listening to the Yardbirds or if he's listening to the Beatles, is he doing lead stuff? Is he just a rhythm guy?
Good question. I mean, he was a rhythm guy. He was the guy that played rhythm guitar in a band. In those days, bands had rhythm and lead players. And one guy played mostly rhythm. The other guy played all the leads. And my brother was a really great rhythm guitar player. Huh. And he still can do it. You know, I mean, we're very close. He's still, him and I, stay in touch. You know, I just moved down to the Palm Springs area a few months ago. But up until that point, I was living up in Northern California, and he also lived in Nevada, California, and I lived there. And, you know, we're just a few, not far from each other, 5 minutes away, you know, so we were stayed pretty close.
Right, sure.
Oh, and if you buy a CD from me on my internet, on my website, on my internet, I have my own internet, you know, but if you buy something off of my website, he's the guy that sends it to you.
Oh, he's retired. That right?
He just likes to, you know, he does it to help me out and, stay involved. He used to actually go on the road and travel with us and drive the bus and sell merchandise and stuff like that. And we got to travel all over the country together that way. Anyway, that's how it started.
Cool. You do one of my favorite Elvin Bishop songs. I always loved Rock Bottom. It was hard enough for me to find it on the internet because I lost my vinyl copy of it years ago. So how gratifying was that you pulled out a copy of that and Mike Zito.
Yeah, it was Mike Zito.
Right.
I'm a big Elvin fan. There's the thing you mentioned, Taj and Elvin and actually, you know, those are a couple of my biggest influences when I was starting out as a kid, you know, a young guy learning to play guitar in high school or whatever. I mean, I was a huge Elvin Bishop fan.
Oh, yeah.
And Todd. And it's interesting now that they're both friends of mine.
How about that?
I never dreamed that was going to be the case when I was driving down, you know, on my way to high school in my 1963 Ford Falcon, blasting Party to the Cows Come Home on the AM radio.
You bet.
You know, I didn't dream that one day I would be, you know, hanging out with Elvin doing shows and,
That's got to be wild. All cows.
But anyway, those guys, you know, and every once in a while, like, you know, I get to talk to Taj on the phone or something like that. We always see each other on the blues cruises. And I just can't, you know, I can't believe that my life went that way. You know, I sure didn't dream about, I never thought it was going to be that way when I was young. I just knew that I loved the music and those guys were my heroes. I'll never forget, you know, I mean, we got to open shows for a couple of BB King tours. BB is one of my all time favorites and biggest influences as well. And when those kind of things started happening, I just couldn't believe it. You know, it's way more than I asked for, you know.
Well, now you've got a, is that show still on? You had one coming up in Sacramento with Elvin. Is that still on the schedule?
It is. Yeah. That's not until March. So we're hoping things will be fine by then, but right. we're doing shows now. I mean, we protect ourselves and, you know, have everyone's got three shots and, We wear masks wherever we go when we're going to be around people and, you know, setting up the stage and interacting with people at venues and things like that. And we just get on stage and put on a show and move to the next town. And it's been working out fairly well for us, you know.
I've never seen a tour schedule like yours. It's like you don't let up. And it's however you keep the machine operating, you know, that's the wear and tear must be outrageous.
Yeah, I do try to eat right and exercise, you know. Found out it works better that way. You know, wasn't always like that. At some point, I realized I needed to make some changes, and I actually, you know, enjoy getting out and getting some exercise. And now that I know what I know about nutrition, I can't go back to the way I used to eat. Without, you know, once you know what's wrong with all the food out there and what's how it doesn't really work well for your body and your mind and your longevity, energy, yeah. All those, everything just about, you know, once you know about it, it's hard to go back.
Right. Oh, well, you were born in 55. I was born in 56. So again, we are coming from the same playbook here anyway.
Exactly. No wonder we like a lot of the same music.
I'm busted, disgusted, been That was Tommy's cover of Elvin Bishop's Rock Bottom. Let's take this time to check in with a couple of our supporters. You are listening to The Fix on KXRW.
KXRW would like to thank Craft Cannabis, our exclusive cannabis sponsor, for supporting our radio community. Their wide variety of products range from edibles, pre-rolls, concentrates, vapes, CBD topicals, tinctures, and much more. Craft Cannabis, for 21 and over, now has two locations in Vancouver. The newest shop is on Andreessen Road off Patton Parkway next to Home Depot. The Mill Plain location is in the Heights Shopping Center. Ordering options include online, in-person, curbside, and express window touchless pickup to better serve you. Hours and more information available at craftcannabis.com.
Programming like this is brought to you by the generous support by our founding sponsors at ADCO Commercial Printing and Graphics, Clark County's local print shop since 1993. ADCO features stationery, posters, flyers, tickets, business cards, stickers, catalogs, and much more. Print on anything and mail anywhere. Learn more at adco1.com. That's ADCO, the number one.com.
Welcome back to The Fix on KXRW. Let's rejoin our conversation with blues man Tommy Castro. I wanted to talk with you about the legendary Rhythm and Blues Review, but more specifically, I wanted to talk to you about the cruises. I mean, we are living in a COVID world right now, and I'm wondering what the status of that is under these new circumstances.
Well, the status is, I just got off the phone with the captain, Roger Neighbor. Roger's a guy who was involved in music, promoting blues music in Kansas City back in the day. And he had a club there called the Grand Emporium in Kansas City. And he also, you know, was the guy behind the Kansas City Jazz and Blues Festival. And anyway, it's a long story how the Blues Cruise started, but he basically started the idea and eventually chartered these ships and put on this full-on production where, you know, you get to see everybody, like, you know, Taj Mahal and Keb Mo and Buddy Guy and Kenny Wayne Shepherd and, you know, all the new young and up and coming artists, you know, have all performed on there, and all the old guard and all the legends. And, you know, a lot of the people that have worked on that ship are not with us anymore, a whole bunch of them. And it's really an amazing show. And it goes on every 7 days straight. It's nonstop.
Yeah. It sounds like a dream.
11 in the morning, and it goes until it's about 6 o'clock the next morning, because people stay up all night on that ship, and they get little jams going on in the corners of different little bars and lounges around the ship. There's always something going on, and it's pretty cool. But that said, you know, cruise ships are not where you want to be when there's some kind of health risk going on, but mm-hmm. we did the one in November, and it was fantastic. You know, they did, you know, a lot of screening ahead of time. You couldn't get on there unless you were vaccinated to begin with, and you also had to have a test, a recent test, 2 days before you got on, and then you got another rapid test the day of. And so, you know, it went off pretty smooth, you know, and then, so we're looking forward to the one in January being the same way. Oh, and they do a limited capacity at the moment. They're doing like 55% of what they normally do. Uh-huh. And so, well, yeah, we're looking for, it's the best gig of the year. Always. Doesn't matter what we do. The Blues Cruise is always the main event.
Back in 2009, Hard Believer came out, and you right. won some awards for that. Including the, well, you said that you got the opportunity to play with B.B. King.
Yes.
And so to get the B.B. King Entertainer of the Year Award, what was that sensation? That must have been a real thrill.
Surprise. I mean, I was at the award show, and, you know, I knew I was up for a couple of awards. I was nominated, but I was still, was my first time being nominated. I might have been actually might have been the second time I was nominated. First time I didn't win, and the second time I won two awards, and it was for the record, and it was for the B.B. King Entertainer of the Year award, and that one really floored me. I was happy to get the record, and that was a little bit of a surprise. It was a good record, and I, you know, didn't rule out that it could win, but I didn't expect it. And then when they followed up, I walked off the stage with that one, and then I was started talking to people, and somebody said, "Hey, you need to get back up there."
That is incredible, really. Tommy Castro presents A Blues Man Came to Town, which is a concept album. What an idea. What a concept. I love it. I love the whole idea behind it, and really strong material.
Thank you.
Well, I was hoping. Now, that's, are you playing a lot of that on the shows that are coming up? Will you be sampling from that album?
Yeah. Just the usual. You know, we normally take about, you know, 4 or 5 songs from the new album and perform them when we're doing a release tour, which goes on for at least a year after the release. Everything we do is part of a release tour of some kind. And, you know, in the old days you learn everything in this business by trial and error. You know, there's so much you can read about and ask questions about and get advice from different people about this and that, but mostly you have to go out and do it and find out what works for you and what doesn't work. And I used to try and do a lot of the new songs in a show and not too many of my older songs. And you start to get, you know, fans or people that can't come to the show are not happy with that. They're glad you have a new record, but that's not what they came to hear. They want to hear the stuff that they know.
You bet.
So now I rarely do more than 4 songs from a new release. And it's tricky on this one because this album tells a story.
Right.
It's, you know, there's a story from the beginning to the end. And the best way to listen to it is from top to bottom, listen to the whole thing all the way through. It's like if you were going to listen to, you know, Tommy by The Who or something like that.
Perfect example.
Listen to the whole thing,
sure,
to really get the story. And, not that I'm comparing this record to the genius of Tommy by The Who, but it's the same idea, you know, only
Yes. It's
music that suits me. It's blues and it's R&B and it's soul music and it's rock and roll and
yeah,
all the stuff we like.
They're all standalone. So that's or at least they strike me that way, that you don't have to, well, wait a minute, what does this song have to do with anything? It's not that. It's that each one is always its own little universe there. I mean, it's, they all work and they work great. By any chance, has there been any talk about getting Blues Man Came to Town actually up on a stage?
Oh, a little talk here and there, but nobody's got a plan.
Well,
Or money, you know, to do it with. I mean, but if somebody came along and decided they wanted to do a stage production of A Blues Man Came to Town, I think it makes it's a great story. I wrote it with Tom Hambridge. You know, we spitballed ideas around and, you know, came up with the idea. And I think it would hold up real well on stage, but there are no plans to do anything like that.
Ah, well,
right? I certainly don't have the bandwidth to make something like that happen. We'll wait and see if somebody who, you know, there's a lot of people who like theater or really into it, supporting their local theater companies and productions and there's people out there that have, you know, have a lot of money. And if they decided they wanted to do something like that, you know, that would be really cool. But I'm really not planning on it. It's not my normal order. You know, what I do is put on live music shows.
Sure.
And I get on the bus and I go from town to town and I play live shows. And that's still how we make the bulk of our living. We get a little income stream from royalties from different releases over the years, and that all helps. But what we really survive on is live shows. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad that we're going to be coming to Portland and Eugene. In fact, it'll give me a chance to see my oldest son, Skyler. He's the promoter of the show in Eugene, Oregon. He's promoting it at Sessions. Sessions is a music venue, and you can, you know, if you're an independent promoter, you can rent out the hall for the night, promote the show, bring in an act, and he does that sort of thing. And we decided to give him the show this time through. We'd played a really nice little theater in the past, sort of a performing arts center there in Eugene, and that's fun. But it's a big seated theater, and it's kind of, you know, it's got a certain vibe, and it works fine. We always had a good experience there, and the people who put that on and volunteer there are just wonderful. They're really great, and so no, nothing against them, but I just, you know, I wanted to give my son a shot at promoting the show.
Well, yeah,
he lives there in Eugene and works in music in a few different capacities. So it'll give me a chance to see him. I haven't seen him in a while. And I know he's working hard to promote the show there. And of course, Portland is a place where we have lots of friends and fans, and it's a great music town for blues.
It is. Let's listen to the title cut off Tommy Castro's A Blues Man Came to Town. This is The Fix on KXRW.
Was a hard life on the farm, plowing in the fields, chopping wood behind the barn. Must be a better way to use these hands and arms. Heard about a roadhouse mile outside of town, quitting time on Friday, laid that pitchfork down. Once he heard that guitar, man, it shook him to the ground. The blues man came to town, he felt the tug. The blues man came to town, he caught the bug. The boy breathed in that sound when a blues man came to town. Johnson, picking on his porch all day, had an old pawn shop guitar, and he taught that boy to play. The music filled his soul ever since that day. Johnson told him, if you want my advice, get the hell out of this town. Go, don't think about it twice. The young boy knew that old man was right. The blues man came to town, he felt the tug.
KXRW would like to thank Craft Cannabis for supporting our radio community. Their wide variety of products range from edibles, pre-rolls, concentrates, vapes, CBD topicals, tinctures, and much more. Craft Cannabis, for 21 years and over, now has two locations in Vancouver. The newest shop is on Andreessen Road off Patton Parkway, next to Home Depot. The Mill Plain location is in the Heights Shopping Center. Ordering options include online, in-person, curbside, and express window touchless pickup to better serve you. Hours and more information available at craftcannabis.com.
A big thank you to Vancouver's own Kiggins Theatre for supporting our radio community. Our historic Kiggins Theatre has a long tradition of showing movies for our community, 85 years. Kiggins currently features First Drawing Big Studio and Art House films, along with classic movie revivals. Check out their live events, and you can even book the theatre for a private party or a public event. Go to KigginsTheatre.com to see how you can rediscover the joy of going out for movie night again. Showtimes, booking information, and more at KigginsTheatre.com.
You are listening to The Fix on KXRW. Let's continue our talk with Tommy Castro. Well, I'd like to boil some of your own words and throw them back at you, if I may. Not to, I hope I'm
they
not.
They could use a good boiling.
That'll clean them up. No, I hope I'm not being overly familiar. But you had said, and I heard that you said, that with so many great guitar players out there, you say, I don't try to compete with the world of guitar playing. I'm more interested in expressing myself and getting my songs across. And also, that the hardest thing to do is to be yourself, to take some chances and bring your fans along with you, and that you always try to be your most authentic self. Now, one would say, yes, of course. Easy to say it, but much more of a challenge, it seems to me, to actually get yourself into that place where you go out there and to be authentically Tommy Castro. And there are plenty of dudes out there that wouldn't mind having that sound. But how do you put yourself in that place where you're going to step out on stage and you're going to give it all that you've got, and it comes out, you run it through the Tommy machine, and it comes out good, it comes out real, it comes out authentic?
I have to say that, you know, there was times when in my attempts to be creative and come up with something fresh or different, not my intent was not to bore people, you know, with the same kind of record every time or the same kind of sounds. And I was reaching to stretch out a little bit and try to create something different and new. And in the process, I realized that I wasn't being very authentic. And that was the problem with it. You know, I might have come up with a good sound or a cool song or whatever, but it wasn't me. And so there was a certain point in time when I realized that I didn't want to do that anymore, that was kind of a mistake. But you learn from your mistakes, you know, you get better by, yeah, that's the way I learned everything in my life. I've had quite an education, but I learned. I just had to start taking a real look deeper, look inside, and to realize what it was that was really me and what it was that I really loved doing the most, you know. And I kind of brought things back in a way, you know, and I've kind of found my more authentic self. So that's what I try to do. I try to come up with something fresh and interesting for my fans, like A Blues Man Came to Town. It's a really good example of that, you know. But it's still me. It's a blues opera, but it's still me playing a traditional blues, something with a little gospel in it, maybe, and something with some, like, a little rock and roll kind of thing, a traditional rock and roll, like there's a Chuck Berry kind of feeling thing on there that I've always, it's always been my, you know, in my wheelhouse. And then the traditional, you know, blues shuffles and things like that is also there. And then there's the funk element, you know, the James Brown influence has always been with me. And you know, all of the things that I normally do in my music, the things that I've always incorporated in my sound, and that makes me a little bit different than the average rock blues guitar player, I think, you know.
Yes.
I feel like I'm not in that same, I'm not really in the same bag with all the rock blues guitar players who I admire and, you know, secretly steal licks from, but I don't want to be them. I want to just, you know, I take a little bit of this, little bit of this from them, and, you know, I appreciate, you know, good music, whatever style it is, but yeah, I would try. I just don't feel like I fit in the rock blues Guitar Hero world so much as I do in a guy that just presents a good song, you know, like we talked about Elvin, you know, it's the great songs that make you feel like you want to go to that show again.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all true. You know, I think that's all true. At least that's where I'm at today.
Thank you. wasn't close.
That was Blues Prisoner off the new Tommy Castro release, A Blues Man Came to Town. Sit tight, we'll be right back.
Big thank you to Carpet City of Vancouver for their generous support of KXRW Radio. Carpet City of Vancouver products include carpet, hardwood, laminate, stone and tile, and also countertops. Whether you need replacement flooring or are looking for a first-time installation on a new property, Carpet City of Vancouver can handle the job in a professional, knowledgeable, and timely manner. Located on Highway 99 in Hazeldell, more information available at carpetcityofvancouver.com.
The Sierra Club empowers local volunteers to lead campaigns to protect the places and people we love. They empowered local volunteers to lead the effort in City Hall to develop an emissions reduction plan. The goal is to reduce emissions at least 50% by 2030. More information is available about how to become a member and support their work at sierraclub.org/Washington. That's sierraclub.org/Washington.
Before the break, that was Blues Prisoner off the new Tommy Castro album, A Blues Man Came to Town. I asked Tommy about what guitars are in his current arsenal. Now, I got the opportunity of seeing an interview with you where you were playing a Castrocaster.
That's it.
Is that what
that's
you...
what I play most of the time.
Yeah, because, man, I've seen you and you're always playing something sharp. You're always playing something hot. You had a Gretsch that I'm trying to get them to move the camera and they're not doing it. You know, trying to see what's going on there. But, man, I have much admiration for your weapons of choice, to be sure. So.
Well, there was a time there I was, I played a Fender Strat for many years, a 66 Stratocaster, and got it off a friend of mine who was, you know, one of my mentors when I was just starting out, just a really good buddy of mine. And he was famous for having all these guitars in pawn shops all over San Francisco.
All his guitars? He
put them in the pawn shops because it was safer there than where he lived. So he had guitars in all these pawn shops. And if he ever needed any money, he would take one out and go and sell it.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, I asked him, I said, Johnny, why are all your best guitars in pawn shops? He goes, well, they're a lot safer there than they are in my place. I said, that made sense. Anyway, so he took one out. He was going to sell it to some guy. And I saw it and I said, oh, man, I got to, please don't sell this. You know, sell it to me.
Yeah. Was that the Strat?
That was the Strat. Yeah, I still have it. I was just playing it today. I did a little thing for Vintage Guitar Magazine. But over the years, I've experimented around. You know, I went from that Strat to a Firebird for a while. Mm-hmm. Always liked the Firebirds. I'm a, you know, Johnny Winter fan.
You bet.
And the Gate Mouth Brown, you know, they always look so cool just playing a Firebird. And so, and I kind of like Gibson sounds, but I like the smaller pickups that were on the Firebird. So I played that for a while. And then I started thinking, you know, I kind of missed the Strat and missed the Fender thing. But I do like this humbucker thing. And geez, wouldn't it be great if there was something that incorporated all of those things that I like? And so I went online, I found a company that has parts of guitars you can buy, and you can order all these different parts and put them together. Mm-hmm. And it's, so I ordered a Jazzmaster body and a Stratocaster neck and a humbucker pickup for the bridge and a P90 in the middle and a regular single coil Strat like pickup in the neck, which is the one I used to use all the time on my Strat. I always used the neck pickup. So I thought I'd have all these different sounds, and it was a great idea. It sounded really good. It didn't sound like any of those guitars.
Oh, perfect.
But it did have a really cool sound. And a guy comes along, wanted to do a signature guitar for me. He makes these handmade guitars in Texas. He makes them, every bit of it he makes himself, except for the electronics and the metal pieces. Cuts the wood for the body and the neck right in his shop, and really beautiful work. But I said, I had just designed this guitar for myself and I really like it, So if you could make one like this, then we got a deal. So that's what happened. And the Castro was born. And you and anybody who wants one can go on Delaney Guitar's website or even my website and find your way over there, and you could buy one of those guitars.
So
it's a pretty cool, it's a great guitar to do gigs with, because you may not have to change guitars very often.
Right. Oh, it sounds like it's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
So awesome. So you said Delaney.com?
Delaney.
Okay. Yeah. Either that, or for all things relating to Tommy Castro, that would be TommyCastro.com.
Well, Tommy Castro I got that years ago when the internet was still kind of fresh. Well, and somebody made a web page for us, and it had all these weird numbers and letters you had to memorize. And I said, wow, we'll never be able to remember that, Can we change it to something that we can remember? And he said, oh yeah, no problem. What do you want? You just have to pay for the domain. I said, how much? He goes, like, well, it's about $20 a year. I said, let's do it. That was way back in the 90s, TommyCastro.com.
Are you planning on your next album? Are you writing towards that?
No, not really. I think I've made a lot of records, and I'm going to just kind of, I feel like, I don't know, I haven't told anybody this really, but I'm kind of like, I'm in no hurry to make my next record. I'm going to wait till I'm inspired and feel like I've got something I really want to put out. I just noticed, I mean, it typically in this business, you want to put out a record every couple of years. It keeps you, it's better for bookings and festivals and things like that, that you have something current out. And so we're always conscious of that, and the part of me I like to write songs and I like to create new music and, do something fresh. But at the same time, we know that we need to do it. It's just a business model, really, that you get away from that after too long of a time without a release, and it's not good for business. So we're conscious of that. And then I look at my friend, Tab Benoit. He hasn't put a record out in 10 years. And he has no trouble drawing a crowd. He puts on great shows. He's got a lot of good material to choose from. And it's not really necessary to be on that, keep that pace up. And so I'm going to give myself a little break. I'm going to give myself a little breathing room and see, and just kind of let the next inspiration, rise naturally and see where I go from there.
Cool. Well, I wouldn't have minded being a fly on the wall during however you came up with Tom Hambridge and put this recent one. I don't know what the process behind that is, but you can't argue with the results.
Well, that was a thing that him and I had been talking about for years. We've known each other since we did the B.B. King tour in 2000, in 2000 with Susan Tedeschi. Tom was on drums And then it was Buddy Guy and BB King and us. And we, you know, we've known each other all this time, and we will see each other from time to time on a blues cruise or a Delbert's cruise or a festival or any kind of different gigs. And every now and then, you know, we just say, yeah, we got to do a record together, man. And we talk about it, and then something else would come up and something else would happen. And this time I said, you know what? It's time for me and Tom to make that record we've been talking about all these years. And I've got a good idea to run by him. And he was definitely the right guy for the job. This, I don't think it could have worked out as well without him. He was the guy that, the glue that kind of took my vision and helped me, you know, help me build it outright. And very grateful for that, and real happy, you know, with the way it turned out.
Yeah.
And thank you for having me on your show. Sure do appreciate it. And we're looking forward to coming up to the Northwest here. I hope it's going to warm up a little bit, but that's a lot of wishful thinking.
Yeah. Well, wish in one hand and see which one gets filled up quickest, I guess. Thank you so much. I am very grateful for you taking the time to speak with us today.
Well, thank you for taking the time to speak to me today. Thank you, my friend. And I look forward to meeting you in person someday. And we'll talk again soon.
Good. Excellent. And good luck and stay safe. Thanks to Tommy Castro for talking with me today. I'm Bill Haas, and this is The Fix on KXRW Community Radio Vancouver. We're an all-volunteer, nonprofit radio station and would love to hear from you. Send us feedback, get involved, make a donation, or buy a cool KXRW t-shirt by going to our website, kxrw.fm. You can find The Fix and all the other current locally produced radio shows there. Thank you for listening.